Yeah.
Well, that was a good song.
Well, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
That was a good song. That was a real good song. Good sermon there in that song. You know, as I was thinking several times this conference, and it was mentioned this morning how, you know, it's, I haven't seen a lot of fruit. And Poland's been hard. But you know, I was encouraged. There was a missionary back in 1813. Name is, I always get his first name wrong, but bear with me. Adoniram Judson. In 1813, he was a missionary to Burma. The first 5 years, he won one guy. One guy. After 10 years, he won 18. You talk about, I mean, I didn't know the guy. He was in 1813. But I could just imagine how much of a failure he probably felt. You know, by the time he died, he had 7,000 believers, 63 churches, and 163 missionaries. That's God. That's God blessing one man's faith. That was just an encouragement to me. I hope it is to you guys there in Poland too. That man, we're not in this thing alone. And God's gonna give us fruit. Amen. You know, I wanna thank this church for everything they've done this week. You guys treat us real well this week, and like every mission conference. And I know I speak for all the missionaries, and we want to thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you promised to be with us until the end. We thank you, Lord, for what a great salvation that we have, and what a great work, what a great ministry that Lord, that you allow us to participate in. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that you bless this morning, that you bless this message, that you give me the right words, that you clear my mind, that you just have me to speak, Lord, just the right words. May you be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm tired of being indifferent. I'm tired of apathy. You know, I hate it when I see it in the people that I preach to. You know, what we preach is something real. You know, I know a lot of people, a lot of folks that have believed in Christ and are part of a church. Lots of times, we just come and we just go through the motions and we're indifferent. You know, you can't, I don't know, if you haven't been stirred up one night this week, there's something wrong with you. If you haven't been stirred up by the preaching of God's Word, it could be a simple word from your mom and dad, a good counsel from the Word of God. If it doesn't stir you up, if somebody who's given you good counsel out of the Word of God doesn't affect you, there's something wrong with you as a Christian. And you know that we get stirred up all the time. You know, we've seen pictures, video on TV of homeless guys getting beat up. Doesn't that make you mad? Doesn't that just sadden you? And you see people walk by and they don't want to get involved. Apathy. Indifferent. That shouldn't be in a Christian. We shouldn't be that way. And I know it happens. It happens to all of us. To every single missionary, every single preacher, every single member, every single blood-bought person, it happens.
Yeah.
If you sit there and say, no, that didn't happen to me, I care all the time, you're a liar. You know why we have mission conferences every single year? Because it doesn't work one time. We gotta get stirred up. We gotta refocus. This is life. That's one thing that that it was so clear to me when I got saved. Serving God? And you might not serve God to the best of your ability, but you gotta serve God to the best of your ability. You might fail God all the time, but you gotta get up and serve God. You can't let yourself, you can't allow yourself to sit here and say, you know what? It really just doesn't matter. It does matter. People matter. Church matters. God's Word matters. Open your Bibles to Lamentations. Are you not moved whenever you hear about all the people starving and dying of AIDS in Africa? Yeah. But you know what? After a while, yeah, they're dying. Yeah. That's over there. We're over here. It happens, doesn't it? Were you not moved? It was said several times about 9/11. Didn't that move you? I remember. We were there in Morelia. Roland was there. He called me. He said, turn on the TV. I don't believe what's going on. That moved me. How many people died in that place? How many, the destruction, and how many people died and went off to eternity? Does that move you? I know we can be moved. I know God, and I know we shouldn't be moved on feelings, on, you know, but you know what? If you don't look at a soul as something precious with compassion, there's something wrong with you. You gotta have, you know why? One of the main reasons why I got up and I left and I went to Mexico to help these guys? Because I was moved. It just made sense to me. You know what? It made sense to me. It was clearer to me back in October when these brothers left. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to be next. I'm an American citizen too. And then it dawned on me. My dad was a Mexican citizen. It made sense for me to be here in Mexico. I can have a double citizenship and have no problem living in the country. It made more sense to me. It made sense for me to get up and go and preach the gospel to a dying country. It just made sense. The Lamentations, this book is a tremendous book because we see here Jeremiah. I'm taking medication and it's drying my mouth out, so. All these little kids from Poland got me sick. You know, Jeremiah here, he's seeing something going on. Jerusalem, it says here in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, and all that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Isn't this the city? Isn't this God's place? You know what he says in verse 12 of chapter 1? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Talk about apathy. This guy is crying for the sin of his own people and the destruction of God's city. And the people walk by like nothing is going on. Well, you know, I love church. I really do. I love it. I have a good time. You know, I mean, you know, I like it when I hear a sermon and the preacher, you know, brings in something funny. I like to laugh in church. You know, for many years as a Catholic, you know, walking in and everything real holy and everything, you know, you got to be real quiet, you know, and don't say anything and don't chew gum in church. You know, because like they told me, if you chew gum in church, it's like chewing the bones of Jesus. That's what they told me. That made me quit chewing gum in church. Who wants to chew the bones of Jesus? But you know, this is the superstition that happens, that goes on, and that's not biblical. I mean, if somebody told me that today, I would say, chapter and verse, please. Yeah. But you know, is it nothing to you what we're doing every single night here? Is it nothing to you? You know, when I think about indifference, I got to ask myself, are we sensitive to what God wants? God wants to save souls. That's what God wants. You know what God wants? He wants you to live better as a Christian. He wants to use you. You know, it's pretty hard to use a rusty tool. It really is. In my shop, all my tools are rusty. If I want to get anything done, I just go to Bill's house. All his tools are sharp. They're all his drill bits are good. I mean, too bad he's gone now. But it's hard to work with beat up tools that don't work. And you know why they don't work? Because they're not used. But you know what? God wants to use every single one of us in here. But a lot of us are saying, nah, it's nothing to me. This is nothing. I'm here because mom and dad. I'm here because Brother Lindell's going to show up in my front driveway if I don't come. I'm here because I don't want to be in trouble. You should be here because the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you that people are dying and going to hell? When I think about somebody being indifferent, I think somebody who is uncaring. Uncaring. How can you not help people? You know, when you see all those people that have their homes washed away from that hurricane on the coast, weren't you moved? I mean, did you help? I mean, there was a lot of people in Houston. My father-in-law's church, they housed lots of people that came from Louisiana, that came. And I couldn't be mistaken. I don't think I am, but I even think that my father-in-law housed some people there in his own home. He was moved. It's hard not to have anything. One day you have it all, and the next day it's gone. Are you not moved? If you sit here and say, no, you know what, I haven't been moved in a long time, it's because you don't care anymore. And you need to fix it. Another thing I think about indifference. Why people are indifferent? Because it costs you something to care. You know, over there in Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan, right? A priest passed by and he sees somebody who just got beaten up. Naked. Hurting. Priest walks by and he's, no, I got an appointment. Levi passed by and he goes, no, I too have an appointment. And Samaritan stops and he says, man, I got an appointment too. I got to help this guy. It cost him something. If you read over there in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, it says that he spent his wine and oil on him. It cost him something. He was obviously, I don't know what he was going to do with that wine and oil. I don't know what they did back then with wine and oil, but he's obviously carrying it with him for something, for some purpose. Nobody I know buys something maybe in our day, right? We buy lots of stuff. Just go to Bill's house, man. It's full of junk. But he uses it. He has three welders. He uses them. You ought to give me one. But it cost him something. It cost him his time. It said he bandaged him up. You know, could you see this guy? He probably had, you know, a brand new suit in his luggage. Probably had an appointment, right? No one travels to an interview in another town wearing the suit you're going to wear to the interview, right? I mean, it could be. I'm just, you know, thinking about it. But he clothed him with something. I don't think he took him to the inn naked. He bandaged him up. Now, do you think, I don't think, I'm not that way. I don't put bandages, you know, in my car thinking, well, I might find somebody, you know, hurting on the side of the road to bandage him up. I don't carry band-aids with me. He had to use his own clothes, ripped them up, bandaged them up. It cost him something. He lost something. And not only that, but he paid for this guy's sin. And he said, if I owe you anything else, I'm going to be back and I'll pay you. You talk about faith. You talk about, you know, I mean, man, people are crooked. A blank check? Not a problem. You go have a good trip. When you come back, I'll make sure this sickly boy is not here no more, and I'll have a tab for you. But it costs you something. That's why you're indifferent. That's why we're indifferent. We're here, we come, and like Corey said last night, you know, we need your help. Come on. Come on down. Help us. You know, lots of just in theory, not all of us can go. Okay? I mean, this is being logical. Right? We can't all go. Otherwise, Brother Lindo will have to get a job. We can't all go. So a lot of you decided to stay. Well, you know what? I believe when Corey said last night, come, we need your help. You can help right here. You can. Now, if you're called to come, go. Third thing I thought about being indifferent is you're playing into the hands of your enemy himself. Satan himself. You know what I think our worst enemy is in the church? In our job as far as evangelism? This right here. Indifference. I mean, when was it? 2 days ago, the Brother Lindo announced, we already paid for all the expenses of the missionaries. Every family from Poland is getting $2,000 for their expenses. And every missionary from Mexico is getting $1,000 for their expenses. Anything above that is a love offering. We can raise money. We really can. That's not a problem. But you know, when I think about this, about being indifferent, God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And by you saying, and the thoughts do cross our mind, doesn't it? How can we go into all the world? Come on, this guy's nuts. Can't go into all the world. Look at the size of our church. We can't go into all the world. But what was said this morning? Your world, San Antonio, that is our world. You know what? I think God gives us a responsibility for San Antonio. That's your job. He's given us Toluca. He's given us Warsaw. He's given us Woods. He's given us, what's that other city? That one. These people would put English names on their cities, right? It'd be much easier. He's given us these things. He's given us Pachuca. He's given us the South Side. We sit there, we say, no, I'm not gonna pay attention to that. No, I say, we need to stop being indifferent. My text is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you that God has given us an awesome job? Amen. Look what it says over there. Turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 18, it says that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Two things that stand out in these verses. One, it says, he has given us this ministry. Have you thought about that? Who are we to have this ministry? We're nobody. Absolutely nobody. But God has given us this ministry. And it's nothing to you? It's nothing to you that we come and we talk about churches and people being transformed? And you've seen it in this building. You've seen it. You can testify of it. 17 years ago, I got saved in this place through one of your missionaries who at the time traveled from Mexico, and I'm sure he was tired, and yet he said, you know what? I'm going to take time out of my life, and I'm going to talk to this guy, and I'm going to invite him to the mission conference. And I came every single night. Amazing thing to hear stuff that I never heard before. Yeah. A mission conference? Talking about responsibility? Mm-hmm. To save the lost in another country? And God spoke to me. Amen. And God saved me. Amen. And God changed me. And I'll never be the same. Amen. Never. If I wanted to walk away from God right now, I would be miserable. Never be the same. How many times, as a lost man, did I do stupid stuff and never affected me one bit? One bit. But have you gotten so indifferent? So not caring? That your own sin doesn't affect you anymore? God's saying, we got a work to do. We need a point man. We need somebody. Is it nothing to you? He said he has committed this thing to us. Committed. That's a trust. That's a charge. You know? I mean, I really like it. It makes me feel really good when somebody I respect tells me, I got this job for you to do. Can you do it? And first of all, I'm thinking, wow, he's asking me? Okay, I'll do it. You know, they sent Steve out of this church, single missionary, to come work with me. And they said, we're entrusting Stephen to you. I mean, I guarantee you, if Bill had any reservation, if Brian had any reservation, if Brother Trini had any reservation, if Brother Lindell had any reservation, that Steve working with me was going to hinder Steve, they never would have done it. Yeah. They committed something to me. But you know what? God's committed to you the gospel. And is it nothing to you? Can you just walk by? Can you just come in and out? On a Sunday and out a Sunday. In a Sunday and a month later again. Is it nothing? I think about God's Word. Is God's Word nothing to you? Let me read you a verse. Look what it says. A verse that we know very well. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Does that mean nothing to you? How many times have you read it? How many times have you heard it preached? How many times has somebody told you, reminded you of this verse? So many times. You know why death sometimes doesn't affect us anymore? Because we see it a whole bunch. But when you get to that moment and you say, this death on TV isn't affecting me anymore, that's when you need to say, you know what? There's something wrong with me. People should be dying that way. They need Christ. When you come in this church, in this building, and God's Word is preached to you, and you can get up and say, you know what? It did do absolutely nothing to me. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to fix it. This is something. What we're doing is something. I think about His Word. Look what it says in Revelation. Chapter 20, the last book. Does this mean anything to you? Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. This isn't a very good place to be right now. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. This is a bad judgment. Some people here are going to be judged for their sins. They didn't believe. They didn't come to Christ. They're going to be judged and cast out to all eternity. Is that nothing to you? It's something to me. How about your time? Is it nothing to you how short your time is? Look what it says, familiar verse, James chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, James 4, James 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's your life. Is it nothing to you that your life is very fragile? Very short? You know, you only have a little bit of time to fight against sin. It's right here. You know, in heaven, we won't have to be fighting against sin. The Bible says God is going to wipe away all our tears. Huh? That'll be a good day. Where God is just going to, we'll enter into that eternal rest. That's going to be a good day. But you know what? Your time is short. Is that nothing to you? That God has saved you. God has put you in a Bible-believing church with all its imperfections. And it is imperfect. Our pastors are sinners just like you and I. But you know what I know? These four men love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I know? My co-workers love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I know? This church loves the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is sometimes we get a little indifferent. And we need to repent of that. What are you waiting for? Why are we still living in horrible circumstances? It doesn't make sense to me. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. You know, I could be in the same exact place as you, as some. But you know what? You have to constantly say, is it nothing to me? What all that God has done for me? All that God has provided for me, all that God has just out of His abundant blessing just given to me. The ability we have. Living in the country that we live in. The blessings that we have. The talent that we have. I know Americans are proud. We are a proud people. And we actually have something to be proud of. Amen? We really do. This is a great country. I love this country. But you know what makes this country even better? That God can use us in so many ways just because we're born in this country. And sometimes we just squander that off. And why? Because it means nothing to you. If you don't give to God in service, in talent, in whatever it is, what you're saying to God is, God, it means nothing to me. 1 John, incredible. 1 John chapter 5, where God's saying, man, if we receive the witness of men, my witness is greater. And then God says, man, if you don't believe me, you're calling me a liar. You don't have to say, God, I don't believe you, for God to know that you're calling them a liar. You don't do what you're supposed to do as a Christian, and you're saying to God, this is nothing to me. I'm just playing house. I'm just passing by. And Jeremiah is out there, and he's looking, and he's crying, and he's saying, how can this happen? Don't you see the destruction? Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by. The last thing I thought of, is it nothing to you that God has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sorry, I got one kid. That's all I got. I wouldn't trade her for anybody. I'm sorry. Even the prettiest one out there, I wouldn't trade it. I won't give her to save you. And I don't mean this, if you had 10 kids, I guarantee you wouldn't give the worst. Oh my, for the worst. But God did that for you. And God did that for me. God Himself gave His Son, and He died on the cross. Can we just go to Isaiah? Isaiah 53. Let's just go to Isaiah. You talk about a picture of His love. Isaiah 53. Is it nothing to you? Verse 3, look what it says. Talking about Christ. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. The three things that stand out to me, talking to a Christian. Despised. He was despised. Are you despising His work? Are you despising the call He's given us? Does it mean nothing to you that God says, this is the labor that I have given to you? I've gave this to you. This is a charge I'm giving you. A responsibility. You're debtors. Have you despised this awesome ministry of reconciliation God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has given to us? Rejected. How many times have you rejected God? How many times have you sat here and listened, maybe this week, maybe on any given Sunday, and you knew God was talking to you about your life, about something you're doing wrong, about something that God wants to correct, and you've rejected God? Is it nothing to you that God is alive right now? And He says, where two or three are gathered, that's where He is in the midst. Does that mean nothing to you? I believe, I don't know about you, but I believe God speaks through His preachers. I believe that. I know I've been sitting through sermons, and I say, man, that's mine. That's me. He got me. And at the same time we say, oh, maybe that was Joey. Rejected? Yeah, Christ was rejected. We esteem him not, the Bible says. But look what it says in verse 4 of this same verse, chapter. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Does that mean nothing to you? Our God, our Savior, came down and he was bruised, he was rejected, he was despised, and he had you on his mind. He had me on his mind. Stripes? You know, I don't know how many of you all saw the movie, The Christ, and I know Catholic and all that other stuff. There's a lot of bad stuff in that. That's fine. What I walked away, and I was literally in tears, was when Christ was whipped. And after I saw that movie, I read that they depicted that exactly. I mean, the experts. That's exactly what had happened to Christ, but like a whole bunch more greater. He was whipped. He was bloody. He was torn. And like I said the other night, Christ did have options. I don't know if you know that. He could have said, oh man, that's it, man. You're done. But just a legion of angels. Boom! You know? Talk about awe and shock. Yeah. Yeah. Desert Storm has nothing on that. But God didn't do it. He didn't open his mouth. That's what the Bible says. Is it nothing to you? You that have probably been away from God, is that nothing to you? You that possibly somebody here that is not saved, is that nothing to you? And we sit and we say, yeah, but I have so many doubts. I've messed up so many times. I've done so many things bad. Let me tell you, God came to save sinners. Amen. Like you and I. And I thank God that when we all get to heaven, we're not going to be sitting around telling our war stories of how good we were down here. Oh, what we did for Christ. Oh, the things I gave up. Oh, I went to Mexico and I gave... No. Reasonable service. Me going to Mexico. Reasonable. At the end of the day, unprofitable servant. That's what the Bible says. It's incredible, man. You talk about not being able to be puffed up for too long. You know, you come across that verse, unprofitable servant? My God. Come on, look what I did. No, you did what you were supposed to do. That's all you did. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he gave, and you have fears. What are my friends going to say? Is it nothing to you that God was abandoned by all his friends? John was there. John was there at the foot, seeing all this firsthand. Everybody else left. Even the strongest ones. They left. All his friends. Is that nothing to you? Why don't you come to Christ? You say, but I can't. I got too many fears. No, you can. If I did it 17 years ago, and you talked about a lot of fears, but you know what? I feared God more that day. I told God, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I could go home and my mom could say, you know, you're not my son no more. I don't know if you know, but Mexicans are pretty tight. You know? Our religion is really dear. I've had people tell me in Mexico, I can't, because it'd be like giving up my own nation if I reject the Virgin Mary. I can't do it. You don't think religion has a stronghold on somebody? There's a lot of us in here that probably went through different trials, different thoughts in our head. And at the end of the day, I know I did. I said, no, this is something. This is something. I'm going to get it. It might not be another day like this. This might be the only day. And I remember, even before coming to these meetings, I remember sitting in my truck. I told the story a lot of times, sitting in my truck after I talked to this man of God. And I said, oh God, don't let me die. I'm going to go to every meet. Don't let me die. Because I knew if I died, I'd be without God. No, it was something to me. Is it something to you? This is something. What we're doing, what we're involved in, every year that we come together and we sacrifice and we choose to be stirred by God, God, speak this one more time. We want to see this glorious stuff again. Remind us. Are you not moved? Is this thing nothing to you? You know, is it nothing to you that God is calling you to His vineyard? And in some way, fashion, whatever, God's calling you. Is it nothing to you that heaven and earth, all that's going to pass away? But God's word, that ain't going to pass.
Amen.
Is that nothing to you? Is it nothing to you that your life is just a vapor? You got a little time. No, I dare to say you have right now. That's all you got. You could have come in today and said, I'm here just because of whatever reason. The reason wasn't godly reason. It wasn't a seek God. Maybe you just came in and said, Sunday, I just got to go. And the reason why you're thinking that is because it's nothing to you. And you're saying that to God. Your life is short. You have right now. And is it nothing to you that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you? I think of that. Of that hymn. Amazing love. How can it be? That thou, my God, shouldst die for me. That's an amazing hymn. Have you personalized that hymn? He died for you?
Amen.
Is it nothing to you this morning?